We are recording.
Okay, good morning. It's 8 a.m. I'd like to call the Improvements Committee to order. I note myself and Mr. Janko are present, along with appropriate staff, contractors, and illustrious members of the community. So that's item one. Item number two, comments from the public. Who wishes to speak?
No comments.
Okay, item number three, improvements from staff reports.
Before I get started, I requested that I, if I can move item C and E to the top of the list, because they...
Domenichelli?
With Domenichelli, so we're not paying him to sit through a whole meeting, if you're okay with that.
Randy?
So we'll start with item C. Joe is, I know Joe was here last Improvements Committee, and they talked about this. Joe's out sick, so I've asked Daryl to come here so I can get some more direction on the Rio Oso tank assessment. Are we wanting Domenichelli to do a physical assessment of the tank, so to find out if we want to go the direction of rehab or go the direction of replacement?
Well, everything's a specialty these days, and if that's a area of specialization of Domenichelli and Associates, that would be fine, but aren't there companies around California that just do tank assessments?
Absolutely, and I did get one that I shared several months ago, and it was said that we wanted someone that doesn't want our business. So we want an assessment done by an independent person that's
sure.
Not trying to get our business. Daryl has done tank assessments for other water.
Daryl. You could just call him Joe and I would be less confused.
Daryl/Joe is works for Joe, and he's done tank assessments, so he does have the qualifications to do it. If we want to move forward, then I'll start with getting a quote from them to do this, and we can start moving forward.
Hi, Tom.
Well, it sounds like a smart idea. I mean, to get an impartial assessment. Do we know what this impartiality is going to cost us?
Well, this is why we're here, so I can get clarification, and if that's the direction we want to go. Because then we would actually include item E with that, which is the installation of the hydro pneumatic tank, which nobody really knows why it was removed many moons ago.
I read that. It's probably broke, and somebody said, screw it, we don't need it.
So if this is the direction the committee would like to go, then we'll send requests to them, and they can come up with a potential cost, and I can bring it back to the Improvements Committee next month.
Cost for E also?
Yes. Well, I would just include them both in the same task order.
Travis, can you help me understand what a hydro pneumatic tank does?
So, a hydro pneumatic tank equalizes the pressure, so we don't get surges. So, what happens is the hydro pneumatic tank is like partial air, partial water, and stabilizes the pressure, so that way the water doesn't surge through the tank. It keeps it at a normal pressure, and then it will also take time off of when the pressure is in the set points, the pumps will turn off, so it actually saves work on the pumps too. So,
and how big is a hydro pneumatic tank?
The one that's there was a huge one. I don't know how many gallons it was, but it was a good size one.
Okay.
So I would include both of those in the task order, and then we can reevaluate it next month if you'd like. Is a month enough time to get something like that together?
To get the cost together?
Yes.
I think so.
Yeah. So if you're okay with that, we'll. Well, I'll have Joe move forward.
I am fine with it. Randy, what are you
doing? Let's
do it. I just have one question for Joe, Daryl. How do you come up with cost estimates? What's your methodology?
Mostly we contact vendors.
Can you speak into the mic? So
sure.
It's recorded.
We contact vendors, contact contractors. It's also based on previous projects. We take that information, gather it together, and put together a most likely cost.
So you're getting kind of loose bids from actual potential contractors rather than just going to some online, you know, engineering quote RUS site that gives
Correct.
You some ballpark thing? Okay. Okay. So I think that's our direction. Both Randy and I.
Do you have any questions about anything?
Not at the moment.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions for Daryl?
No.
You can leave if you'd like. That's all okay. I needed you for.
Okay.
Or you can sit here, but I'm not going to pay you to sit here.
All right.
So.
But you're mean you're not going to pay me to sit here too?
Sir, I would always pay you to sit there because you want to stay all day.
I think we want a raise.
Thanks, Daryl.
Sure.
So we'll move on to item A, the 18th and the 14th fairway sinkholes, and I'll let Corey talk about this.
As far as I can tell, there is no easement for the 8th fairway or the 14th fairway storm drains. They're a part of Rancho Muerta Country Club's system and not CSD's. You know, we're only responsible for the inflows and outflows around them. And that's checking any easement I can get from RMA or CSD, so or RMCC at this time.
So you're saying that because you can't find an easement, we're not responsible for that portion of the drainage system?
Correct. We have no legal responsibility or requirement or it's not our property. We can't go and just dig on anybody's property for a pipe or something that's in the ground in that location.
I thought there was an email from Velez that included the easements, and I thought one location did have an easement and one location didn't have an easement. Mike, did I look at that?
Hey, Randy, can't hear you. Mic down, please.
I thought that we were given documents that showed one location had an easement and one didn't.
Yeah, I have that here.
I can help if you guys want.
So there was one easement that wasn't in. It was numbered, but it didn't actually show where the easement was in that documentation, and I requested for that. I've yet to see that document. And from what I can see, there's multiple easements on the 14th fairway, but none of which covered this area.
I do believe we have a public comment.
Okay, so I was at the Country Club board meeting, like I always do.
Okay.
And it was last week, and this was brought up. And they concluded what he did, that there is no easement on the 14th fairway, that there is an easement on the 13th fairway for the same exact ditch. So the ditch actually crosses the 14th fairway, and then it crosses the 13th fairway, and then goes into a big culvert, and then goes down into Laguna Joaquin or wherever it goes to after that. And so they said there's an easement on the 13th fairway. There was no documented easement on the 14th fairway. Mm-hmm. And they did not comment on the easement up by the 8th fairway, but I'm guessing there wouldn't be an easement for that one either because there were no properties there. But the Country Club is very clear that it is CSD's responsibility to repair them with or without an easement, and they will definitely grant access to allow CSD to go repair a clear drainage ditch that is owned by CSD. In fact, they even said that Art would strip all the grass away, the maintenance crew will strip all the grass away so that then you can do whatever retrenching and reburying of culverts or whatever it is CSD needs to do. And then they will be responsible for putting the grass back on top. So the Country Club's view of the ownership is that they own the top of the land, but anything subground is owned by CSD. So that was very clear from the RMCC board.
Okay.
Okay.
So it sounds like I need to get Mr. Enright involved and see what his legal opinion on this is.
It's kind of like deja vu all over again. We need to come to a resolution. I mean, if we don't have an easement, if we do have an easement, what does that mean that our obligation is? Because an easement is not an obligation to maintain everything, but we just passed a thing saying that we would do it. So we need clarity on, and this is going to become a bigger deal because here we are with stuff coming up. So maybe get Patrick to weigh in, and we need more of a blanket statement so we don't
have to talk about this over and over and over again.
Exactly.
And then I'll find out. Okay.
So what looks like has contributed to some of these failures is the Rancho Murrieta Country Club had an upgrade at some time. I heard it was a Palmer upgrade, and they put in a bunch of drains to their sand traps, which then they tied into these, which is, if you look at the failures, you'll see the ADS corrugated drain pipe coming into these holes.
And then we have a public comment from Bob Kyle.
Hello, good morning. So we've had great weather.
Yay.
Perfect weather to repair before the rain started again. So what we're doing is we're jerking around, creating a larger problem, when we all know that it's CSD's drain. The country club, all the members pay drainage fees to the district. All of the drainage channels are CSD. All drainage channels are CSD. Why you have a utility supervisor making a determination on what CSD is supposed to repair or doesn't have to repair is not what the district should be doing. You can get a right of entry agreement in 5 minutes from the country club to go in and do the work. And I don't know why you're sitting on your hands.
So, I mean, that brings up a good question. Corey, what's the scope of work to repair these sinkholes?
The 14th fairway is two pipes, approximately 150. It's a little less than that. Two pipes, 150 long. I believe they're 24, 27-inch pipes. And the sinkhole's right in the middle of the course, so you'd be replacing both entire lengths of pipe.
So is that work that our crews could do, or would we have to contract that out?
This would more than likely be best contracted for the level and everything, get the proper flow alignment, and keeping our crew available for other repairs and maintenance that needs to happen. But I would assume it's going to take someone a good few days with an excavator.
And we don't have an excavator.
Correct.
Okay. And it's not work we can do with our little backhoe.
It'll take a lot longer.
Well, it's a perfect job for the backhoe, but the excavator's faster. That's what backhoes were invented for, stuff like this.
Okay, so then we could do it ourselves and use our...
You just said no.
He just said that it would be better to contract it out, but we could do it. Thank you.
So what's our plan, Randy?
I would recommend to the board that we authorize Corey to go ahead and fix this and get Patrick involved to
get us an easement or a right of entry easements.
Well, right of entry to get this going, but in the long run to get proper easements, because it should be our responsibility. We should have an easement there.
Thank you, sir. Do you concur?
We should have a uniform easement and maintenance agreement for all of our culverts so we don't do this stuff every week. But okay. What do you think about having your guys do it with a backhoe, Corey?
If our guys are going to do it, I'd recommend at least running an excavator at the minimum. Also, I'd probably recommend talking to Art and the RMCC to see if there's a way of possibly leaving it a channel open and versus putting a culvert back in. For sure, I think it can be done at 8th Fairway, if that's something the district's going to take on. As that shows, that's only an inflow for us and not actual pipe going across. But the pipes failed going across there with a drain in the middle of the golf course. But that is something Art said. At one point, he made a comment of just opening it up and leaving it rocked or something. I don't know if that's an option.
Okay, wait a second. Tom, you guys get to speak once per item.
Yeah, but you're bringing up...
No. You get to speak once per item.
Okay.
You can tell Jeff what to say, and he'll stand up there and say it.
Fine.
So, how about by the next meeting, we can get input from Patrick and Corey. If you can figure out the two cost options, rent a backhoe for a couple thousand for a week, an excavator for $2,700 for a week versus call a couple of guys with backhoe service or excavators and figure out what they want to do it. And cost of what is it? You said it's like a 24-inch PVC? Or is that something?
Yeah, I'll get estimates on it.
Okay. Andy, you good?
Yep.
Okay, moving on. Clementia water testing. I have reached out to Austin Peterson to find out, to get direction from him on how we start the application process. We do have a Teams meeting with him and our regulator next Friday. And so at that time we can hopefully get direction to start the process for the application. I still don't recommend we do any testing until the application process is done, because just doing a quick assessment on costs, you're looking at $10,000-$15,000 in cost. And with the potential of it just being useless and still having to do it again.
What's the 10-15 for the testing?
Yeah, the testing.
Okay. And who is it you're meeting with?
Meeting with Austin Peterson. He is an engineer with the State Water Resource Control Board.
Okay.
And also Cushier, okay, who is our state regulator with the State Water Resource Control Board. Austin is his boss. And so... I sent him an email requesting direction, and he says it's best to have a Teams meeting and talk about it.
So we're gonna talk about the regulatory parts of turning Clementia into drinking water.
Yeah, so basically, you know, there are several options. There's the no body contact, there's the legislative. So so we're going to talk about all options that are available to us. And see what direction the board wants to go.
Okay. And I think that's great. I mean, that's really what we need to start doing more of. Thank you. But there's also the cost and the time frame. And there, maybe one thing you can do prior to that is send an email to board members so that you can get all their questions before you have their meeting. Is that possible?
I can. I don't know. Am I allowed to do that?
Sure, of course.
Yeah, I absolutely can do that.
Yeah, to make the process smoother, you bet.
We'll cut out one going around the circle if we do it that way.
All right.
How about figuring out what the time... Because one of my questions is, I think John was talking about having it drinking water versus emergency supply of drinking water, and what are the ramifications of those two distinctions? That would be one question I had. What about the timeline in... years or decades to make this process and all the engineering?
That would be part of the conversation that we're going to having, because my guess is, depending on what direction we go, let's just say, for instance, the district decides to go no body contact, then we remove body contact, we do testing. If it's a legislative, then, you know, so these are the questions that I will be asking, you know, and so if we get all the information so it can be brought forward, and then bring it back to the improvements committee, and then move forward from there.
So one other thing, you know, Director Mabee brought up last meeting, He wanted to do a water test within a recent, like in the next month or so, just so we have a baseline to say, you know, and that test may get thrown out because of our doing it before our application, but Tim's thought was that if we get an idea of a benchmark, then that would be a good thing. What are your thoughts?
I mean, absolutely, we can do that. The only thing that would really stay valid would be like if there is Giardia or crypto in the water, you know, your nitrogen testing, your coliform testing, that's going to change. I mean, let's say we get a nitrogen of, I'll just say a number, 100 parts per million at that testing. And then we have some rain and more goes in there, that could take it up to 500 parts per million. And then with body contact, the coliforms and stuff like that. So because crypto and Giardia have to be removed through filtration and disinfection, if it's in there, it's in there. I can do a battery of tests and to get a baseline if that is what we would like. I just think it would be a waste to get. The Giardia and the crypto are $1,100 each, and you'd want, $1,100 for the pair. And then you'd want to do it in a minimum of three spots in the lake. So if that's the direction that you'd like to go, we can certainly do that. Or we can wait until we talk next Friday to them. Either way is fine with me.
Have the meeting.
Yeah.
Have, period.
Have the meeting. Let's figure it out after the meeting. Randy, what do you think about spending a couple thousand bucks to get a baseline test?
I think we have the meeting and then we talk about it again.
Okay, so let's do that, Travis.
Okay.
We'll have the meeting, talk about it. And you can ask them specifically, one of your questions, when do we start doing water testing to make it valid for their process?
Yeah.
Get a handle on that.
I'm going to be part of that meeting. I've got an invite, so I will ask whatever Travis doesn't ask, I will ask.
And we have a public comment from Jim Farrell.
I just want to pick up a little bit on where I thought Bill was going with this, and that, you know, it seems like it would be helpful, and I'm not asking for some sort of a thesis or major engineering study or anything like that, maybe even a one-page bulleted point thing is, what the heck are we trying to do here? And what are the options that we're considering? Why are we considering them? So that you can just look at it. I mean, I've heard our conversion for potable water, I've heard irrigation, I've heard for irrigation with recycle, I've heard emergency backup. And what are the options that we're even talking to this guy about? And before we engage him, we go in and engage him initially with two or three questions, then we come back, 2 months later, and we have five more. They're going to think we're crazy. I mean, it just seems like we should just be thinking this thing through just a little bit more. I mean, what is the great big hurry of having this meeting on Friday? I mean, why not come to this meeting with a one-page bullet point thing? Here's why we're doing this. Here's what we're thinking about. These are the options that we're looking at. You know, here's what we think we might gain from doing this whole thing. Here's maybe what we think it might cost. I mean, just put something out there so that we're not just kind of chasing after something without a clear sense of direction. I mean, that's would be very helpful.
That's a good point, Jim. You know, another thing, touching on what Jim just said, we always hear, oh, I know a guy at the country club and he'll probably say this. Well, I'd rather have a guy, if it's important to the country club, why aren't they here? You know? They should be here. Yeah, Tom, you sit there and smile, but everything we do is because, well, Tom said a guy said that it would be okay. And it's like, that ain't right. That ain't how you do business.
Shall I continue?
Yeah.
Sir? All right. Leak evaluation in the pressure system. Let Corey speak on this.
I spoke out to a few companies and got some, working on getting some estimates. GPRS is one of them. Our cheapest is probably going to be from the California Rural Water Association through federal grants and so forth. So I'm looking into getting it from them. But they need a little bit more information that we're still working on obtaining.
So I figure once we get information and costs on this, we can bring it back to the improvements committee. And then we can talk about it more from there. Okay. Item F, Granley's Dam maintenance plan for valves. Did you
have one?
Could you explain a little bit about what the pressure system is?
Sure. So the pressure system we have two systems here at Rancho Marietta. We have a gravity system and we have a pressure system. The pressure system is roughly from Second Guadalupe up to Camino del Lago. It services roughly 800 homes. We have the pump station at Rio Oso Tank that has pumps running to keep a desired pressure in that system based on the elevation of the area. And so in the gravity system, the pressure is 40, 50 PSI. In the pressure system, the set point is set for 65 PSI. We have to meet minimum pressures at the far end, the furthest point of the system. And so that's kind of the difference between the two that we have. So the big question that we have is, do we have leaks in there, because those pumps are consistently running at a higher rate of speed, so it would be advantageous to have the leak. The leak evaluation done. Right. Item F, Granley's Dam maintenance plan for valves. So there are two valves at Granley's that are after the pumps, and once the pumping season's over, we'll be having those serviced. I don't know why that came up, but
and where are these valves again?
They're at Granley's pump station, right after the 125s, the 125 horsepower pumps.
Are these
altitude valves?
Old gate valves?
No, they're like clay valves, altitude valves. They when pressure goes, when they're opened up, like a belly bag will open up, and so they require periodic maintenance. Clay valve won't do the maintenance because they're not specifically clay valve. We used to have a guy that did the maintenance on those, and the one at Rio Oso Tank, he retired, and so we are just a regular valve guy won't do the maintenance on those, so we are currently in search of somebody that can do it. But the intention will be to have those serviced, and we're also going to be looking at the 125 horsepower pumps, potentially pulling one this year and having it serviced, and the other one the next year.
Have we used the big pumps yet this year?
We have not. We have two options. We can... the past couple of years, we've done a one-day maintenance check on them to make sure they work, and SMUD has waived the fee for it. And we could potentially do that. And I was actually thinking about that based on our flow that we have. I'm going to do evaluation of where we're at full. So we can do that if SMUD will give us a waiver. If not, if we got to turn them on, our permit states that we can only use those after February 1st if we haven't pumped a certain amount of water. And so I need to look into that. So to actually run them for our permit-wise, you know, I think we've pumped more water than what the – and then the next guideline would be if we haven't pumped a certain amount by March 1st. But we still have to have the CFS flow to do it. Item G, SCADA Starlink Dish Cloud Service for server backup. So I put this on here because, Bill, I know you had mentioned calling Starlink. I've also contacted AIC because they had mentioned they're getting a program started, and I asked for an update on that. He said he would be somebody would be getting that to me. But if you'd like, I mean, I will reach out to Starlink. Now, you just want that for cloud service, not internet service or anything, or are you just wanting that for?
I talked with Andy because he's looking at different internet service providers, and I reminded him to go, so he'll be getting a link with a quote from Starlink as well. So work with him because maybe we can get a package and get it all together. Because I understand Bill loves his Starlink.
Well, I mean, I don't know about the cable-based internet service providers in this area. I imagine there's really just one cable that goes down Highway 16 and everybody says it belongs to them, like AT&T, you know. All of Rancho Murrieta was out yesterday or this weekend.
That's what I heard.
And it was because AT&T had a problem, not because Greenfield had a problem. So.
Okay.
I don't know. But yes, Starlink. So, Travis, with Starlink, were you going to have the Starlink here or at the water plant?
That's why I brought it up, so I could get some more. Because my preference is that our backup at the water plant be separate from any kind of backup that's here at. Now, I don't know how the cloud system works. If we already have a cloud account and they can actually keep the two things separate, then I'm okay with that, and I can talk with Andy, so I can get
your internet service at the water plant is failing. Is that right? Or suboptimal?
We have it through Greenfield, and it's data cable, and so but we do not have any type of backup for the servers.
I mean, where did Amelia's on break?
No, we have a vendor that came in that she has to set up.
Well, my feeling is we should buy two Starlink satellites today. It's like $200-$400, depending on how Starlink considers us. But it's like $400-$500, something like that. And it's $100 a month for each one for incredibly fast service, and we never have to worry about outages again. So at that price point, I don't know why we need much analysis. I don't know.
Well, whatever we do should just be a recommendation to the board. So if that's your recommendation to the board, I'm on board with that. So to speak.
And then what I can do is at that point, I'll get with Andy to see what exactly it is he's getting a quote for versus what.
So, Amelia, while you were gone, I recommended that we just buy two Starlink satellites. I mean, it's under $1,000 for the satellites, and it's a hundred bucks a 120 bucks a month apiece for the service. So at that scale, we should just do it. We'd solve three or four problems.
Yeah.
But is that home? I mean, and I don't know if it matters, you know, because I know, like, with cable, there's home price and then there's business price.
That's why I'm waffling on the price.
So that would be something that we would have to, obviously, as part of.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And it's 5 minutes on the Starlink website.
Okay.
Hypoconversion
at the water treatment plant. We're going to be having budget talks and CIP talks, Cecilia, with this month, she had said. And this is the one project that I would like to move forward to. And obviously, this is just an initial bring up, and then we'd have to go from there. But I think we have 100% drawings for the plant, so we're shovel ready. We just need to, if the board approves it, we need to, all we have to do is just get bids to get it moving forward. So it's not like we have to go through drawing phase or anything. We can just move forward. No decision needs to be made. I just wanted to put the bug in the ear of the improvements committee that this is the direction I'm going to be going for CIP projects this coming up next fiscal year.
And remind me how much the last one we did cost?
The wastewater plant was $2.4
million. We got it.
Yeah. So, why are we doing the hypoconversion? What's the reason behind it?
So right now we're on gas, and when you go from hypo is a lot safer, a lot less regulation, if we get a leak or a spill, it's a spill. It's not a buzzer going off and the fire department coming and Cal OSHA getting involved and the state getting involved. We did have a leak 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. The system did its job and closed it up, but it's reported. It's less permitting. I mean, it's just a lot, and it's a lot safer for staff and everyone involved and the community, especially down there at the water plant.
And your opinion is this is going to cost, what, $2.4 million?
No. The wastewater treatment plant conversion, she asked what the wastewater treatment plant cost, $2.4 million.
Okay.
I don't know what this is going to cost because of different things. That $2.4 million, no, that's actually not true. I was going to say that $2.4 million included in the drawings, but that wasn't. That was the drawing, you know, because some of the funding came from SB 170 also.
Right.
So it's just this. I'm just letting the improvements committee know this is the direction that I will be talking about, and then going from there. If it's not approved, then I have other items. But this is the direction I'll be going. So
perfect.
Annual fog costs. So we have fog inspections, which is fats, oils, and grease for all of the business communities, the country club, the hotel, and everything. We have an engineering company that comes out and does them. They've been doing them for years. They are actually registered as the responsible party with the state, and the annual contract has come up, and it was $16,000 and some change. So because of the cost restrictions that were imposed on us, I'm bringing it to you guys to for approval, and then hopefully and then taking it to the board for approval. The quote and what everything is for is in the packet. What they do is they come out two times a year. They do the inspections. They do the follow-up if necessary. They do all the state reporting for us, and then they send us all the reports.
And maybe for you, Amelia, maybe you know the answer. Do we pass this cost on to the businesses, or do we just roll it into everything?
No, this is something that we have to do for our reporting. It's just part of our doing business.
Okay. So, upon recommendation of the committee, we'd like to move this to the board.
Recommend approval.
Thank you, sirs.
All right, thank you. And last but not least, in a wonderful time frame, WSC update. Did you want to?
I can take that. We met last week. Our group met last week and discussed all of the new tasks that we've been that have been put on us by Director Mabee, and we've got a plan going forward. Working on the Clementia water testing meeting with them, discussed an RFP with Amelia to go forward on the urban water plan. WSC has decided that they're too busy to take it on, so we need to go out and get some bids on that. And that Amelia and Travis will be putting their heads together on that and getting something going that we can look at. And we continue to look at well sites. And we're close to having a recommendation, but we don't have the technical specs from WSC on the test drilling to put that out for an RFP. And that is the status of the group.
And so for the RFP for the Urban Water Master Plan, Randy, it probably realistically would come to the board in April. So it would come back here for, you know, recommendation from the committee for whichever bid they liked the best, and then... Is that the time frame that you're liking?
Well,
because we don't want to get a bid in April and then not
February,
be ready to, you know.
So March, if you brought it to improvements in March.
See, I can't bring it to improvements. I like to give about at least 4 weeks, but more like 5 or 6 weeks for the whole bid process.
I was thinking you were just going to put the package together for us to look at.
Would you like that, sir?
Before you went out to bid on it.
Okay.
If we saw that in March and we liked what it looked like, you could get that out and have something available to the board in April, I would think.
In May. Because the way that it would work is I would bring it here in March for you to look at the, you know, the packet and approve it. I would send it out for bid. Then in April, see, that would only give people a month to decide. They had the time to work on it, to ask the questions. It's a big deal, so we would probably have a meeting prior to that with all the interested bidders, I would imagine.
Yeah, I bidding as a contractor, a month is more than enough time, but I don't know consultants and how much time they need to analyze and put their numbers together. Let's just take this one step at a time. If you get the package together for us to look at in March and get it out,
then I can.
And we'll see at that point how long the consultants think they need to get a bid back to us.
Okay. Well, okay. I'll have it here in March.
You're talking about planning, you're talking about preparing a bid package for the Urban Water Master Plan?
Yes.
These are the instructions that I'm receiving.
Well, that's a huge that's a $500,000 project.
That's about what I'm thinking.
I mean, I don't think this is a project for your water committee. This is a project for the entire board.
We were tasked at the last board meeting to pursue this. So that's what we did. That's what we're doing.
And that's how it
rolls. If you want to change that.
Well, I didn't
bring it back.
I didn't hear that, Randy. If that was in fact what happened, I didn't hear that part of it. Mm-hmm. Now, before we go into test wells, I mean, we're drilling a well on somebody else's property, right? So before we drill a well on anybody's property, we need to have a legal agreement that says that, you know, we own the land where the pump is going to go, and we own all the water under there. And if we don't get that, why would we proceed? Because otherwise, it's going to be just like a bunch of other agreements we have now, and people go, oh, well, you know, I didn't agree to that, so you spent $50,000 and now I own everything and I'm going to do what I want with the water. You see what I'm saying? Why would we drill wells if we don't own the water?
We wouldn't.
Okay. So we need to put that on the list.
It's on the committee's list.
And then, Randy, will you be instructing?
Working group.
Not
a committee. Working
will group. Will you let me know it's time to talk to Patrick and ask him to prepare that document, or will you give him direction to do that?
For agreements?
Yes, sir.
We're in the preliminary stages, but eventually, yes, Patrick will have to get involved.
Okay, so I'll wait for you to give me direction on that. Okay, thank you.
We have some public comments. So the first one is Tom.
So Randy and Travis, you know that there are a lot of things we're talking about in the working group, right? We're talking about really three things: wells, we're talking about Lake Clementia, we're talking about the UWMP, the Urban Water Management Plan, okay? And I think this committee should probably give staff and us even direction of what's a priority of those three things, you know? And I kind of have my own view of the priority myself, but I don't know if that's blessed by this committee or if it needs to go to the board and even be blessed by the board. But to me, wells are job one, because that's the only way, that's the quickest way to solve the drought risk and the fire risk and the everything risk. So, to me, that's priority one. Personally, I think priority two might be the UWMP, but I'm a little less clear between UWMP and the Lake Clementia repermitting. But it would be nice if this board had an opinion and would give Amelia and Travis direction on where's the focus. And I would like to see the focus on wells, because that seems to be the thing we can do the most quickly to make a difference. Make progress on everything you said.
Well, I mean, I think you're right with everything you said, Tom. I agree with everything you said, but like what Jim said, we need to have a chart, a big ass chart that says, you know, go from step one to step 10, and we always step in at step six. Oh yeah, let's just go drill some stuff, then figure out what we have, then figure out how we're going to get it. And it's like,
you know, the other thing we talked about is all the Dunn reports from 2013 and the C&E reports from 2002 or whenever they were. Are they still valid, or are we going to have to revalidate the data from those other? Because we're not going to drill more test wells right where the test wells were drilled
before. I've been wondering about that too, Tom.
So the six sites that WSC recommended are not the sites that have been drilled before, and that data has to merge together, and eventually, before we drill production wells, then you need to know your priority of that as well. So, but to me, that's where we need to focus our energy, and it'd be nice if...
So one question for you, Tom, and maybe for you, Randy. Janice Eckert said that 4 out of the 6 proposed well sites were unusable for various reasons. Did you read that?
I did.
And what do you think?
So there were a couple of things that she said. It was, and a lot of people are saying, or a lot of things online, and I'm trying to correct as much as I can, as quickly as I can. So there's a little confusion about if you drill them too close to the consumers, does it count?
Yeah.
And there's clear documentation in the Dunn report that says that as long as they're 250 feet down, it's not considered part of the
river. See, we should be asking the state regulators that question.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Okay, so there's another step that
I'm with
should
you.
Be done.
Okay.
All right.
And the other two were
the other one was talking about, and Travis had a comment at the meeting, and maybe he can comment, is that the way to clear up minerals these days is very different than what it was 15 years ago and 25 years ago when this last report was done. And so we need to get Travis or somebody else to say, what is the process?
Sure.
Even of the old wells, are they now more viable today than they were 15 years ago? And I think the third biggest confusion that the community has is we look at all these reports and we think the data is still valid as it was 15 years ago, as it was 25 years ago, and then the question is, well, why didn't we act on them
back then
and drill wells 15 years ago? Because the data hasn't changed, and you know, it seems like it's a rush now, but we've had a lot of this data for 15 and 25 years. In fact, I saw a report that was here before I moved here 34 years ago that said, drill some wells and you can get well water. And yet 34 years ago, we didn't do anything. 25 years ago, we didn't do anything. 15 years ago, we didn't do anything. Now is it time to do something? I hope so. I'm a newbie in this. I've only been looking at this stuff for 2 years. Janice has been looking at this stuff for 30.
I'm with you, Tom.
So,
but you're right. I mean, we need to talk to the state regulators, figure all this out first.
Ms. Gale?
The report that the consultants just did on the well siting, is that report available to the public?
Sure, it's finalized. Right, we've got... It's not online?
I thought that it was included in a board packet, but if...
I thought it was, yeah, it might be in the last board packet.
The draft was not if
the draft, yeah.
We have the final.
We have the final.
We'll post it.
Okay.
Yep. Thanks, Gail.
And Mr. Jim?
I just want to go back to Tom's comments just a little bit and suggest that somehow we get clarity about what this visions group really is responsible for. It was initially created on the proposition that we needed to get certain people in the room because we might find water on their land. And so it's loaded up in a certain kind of direction to get those people involved because we might be looking on their land. Now this thing has kind of creeped into that this is the group that's going to take care of the Clementia issue. This is the group that's going to do the bidding for the Urban Water Master Plan. And, you know, I just think, I think this is probably heading in the wrong direction. And I think probably there's some need for some course correction or clarity around this thing before, you know, we take good time and good resources, and we've got good leadership on this thing with you guys going on it. But let's not head you off into some sort of a bear trap where you're going to get yourselves, you know, all crossed up again. So I would just encourage that. And I agree with Tom too. And I hear my feelings about. I see some of the naysayer stuff about wells. We can't find it, and you know, the Wheeler report and all the geology and all. But that's why we're doing this, right? I mean, is there water out there or isn't? I mean, we're taking the most modern technology, the most current data, and we'll see if there's water or there's not. And you know, so I don't know if I'd spend a whole lot of time worrying about what happened in 1994 or 1993 or stuff like that. So, yeah, that's a good... but I really would encourage. I mean, just as an observer of this thing, this Visions crew maybe initially said that one of the first things that should have been done in even creating these work groups was a clear list of what they were going to do. That never happened. You know, then what happened was the Get Water Committee ended up being the Water Vision Committee. I don't know what the heck that means, you know, but it certainly, I never envisioned that that was going to be the group that was going to go out and figure out who's going to be the next Urban Water Master Plan consultant.
Oh, sir, the Urban Water Master Management Plan, that will absolutely go to the that'll go to the board for with all the bids, and we'll go through the regular process with any RFP, which is the RFP goes back to the committee, generally is the Improvements Committee, because you're the ones doing.
Wait. See, Amelia, that's what Jim is saying. You just said it goes back to the committee, okay? And well, Jim thinks that it should start with the committee.
It just started with the committee. The committee gave me direction to prepare an RFP. And
you said prepare an RFP, and the committee, the working group.
No,
will look
no,
it
that's
over.
Not what I meant. No? I meant that the improvements committee. I'll bring it back to the improvements committee. We're not in the working
the
group.
The direction
right now.
That I gave Amelia was to put together a packet to go out for RFP and bring it to the Improvements Committee next mm-hmm. month.
So that you can look at it before I send it out, then I'll send it out to everybody.
Okay.
All those bids will come back here for analysis. In past big projects like this, we've had a group which would have included the Director of Operations and probably Travis and one of the members of the Improvements Committee. They would look at all the bids and evaluate the bids. I have a chart on, and they weigh the bid proposals. Then the committee, the Improvements Committee, recommends the bid that they like the most. That bid goes up to the board for approval, but I mean the board could say.
So we were tasked with doing that based on the fact that it looked like the preferred vendor was going to be WSC, and we were already working with WSC. Excuse me. WSC says they're not interested because they're too busy. So we started over again. We're going down the RFP process. I don't really see where our working group gets involved in the Urban Water Master Plan. We're going down a different road now.
I mean, it's great to have Randy and his committee because they're doing something which kind of is in short supply sometimes. We just have to make sure that all the pieces work together properly.
Right.
The board.
The reason why I forget what the original name of the group, what working group was, but the tasks were very clear. The length of term of the committee was very clear. It was approved by the board. It got changed to the Water Vision Committee because that's what the WSC report was called.
That's right.
No more, no less than that. So now at the last board meeting, we were given a couple extra tasks. The urban water plan has been passed on to Amelia to get the RFP process going. So we're still looking at wells, coordinating with the owners of the properties, and we've gotten involved in the Clementia water testing just to try and expedite that. That's the whole story.
And Jeff Pearson, please.
I'm Jeff Pearson. I'm also a member of this work group. To Jim, the initial reason was to help manage WSC with their project to to locate those wells. That was it. There was nothing else beyond that. And however the thing got named seemed, you know, whatever. I get it. That was WSC's name for the thing, was the Water Vision Report. That was the $450,000 thing that they put together that we did a subset of, you know, which is what they are currently doing for us, which is looking for suitable locations for the wells. I don't think it had to do anything. At least I think your comment was probably directed at me. Members on the thing because of the developer interface, if you will.
Let's all be honest, but there's a lot of distrust in
this, well, environment, right? I can't do anything about the distrust. I've never nobody done something that
walk into it.
Well, I was asked to be on this because I know a lot about a lot of different things having to do with the water out here. Regardless of who I work for, there's a lot of things that I know and I think that I can be useful, which is why I said okay when Randy asked me. That's all it is. Talking about the online stuff, I don't read any online stuff really. I'm not a member of the community here. I don't live here, so I'm not able to access it, you know. I hear about things like that and people send me things like that. You know, I will say that I've got two binders there full of a project to execute those wells that was stopped, and all of the studies were done, and it was all out in roughly that same piece of land or pieces of land. And regardless of, you know, what Miss Eckert, and I don't know who she, I know seeing her, but I don't know who she is, how it feels about it, the studies have been done. It's all already been taken care of, and it was stopped right before the drill bit hit the ground. So, and so far as talking to the regulators and things like that, that's a matter of course with a project. You know, if you're going to embark about stuff like this, that's what you do.
If you're about, if you're about to embark, not after you spend $50,000 and what does the state think of this?
Well, you have to do your research first. You know, you don't go to the state and you say, I'm thinking about doing this thing. You know,
yeah,
what?
No, absolutely. I agree with everything you said,
okay.
Jeff.
Thank you.
Hey, Jeff, can I ask you a question? So one of the concerns we have is that if we go and drill wells and we don't have an agreement in place before we drill wells, that after we drill the wells, the landowner can kind of say, oh, no, I'm not giving you any of that water. And most of the wells are on Carol's land. So, I mean, is this going to be a long, drawn-out process, or is she going to say, yeah, sure, I'm all for it?
Is that what your question is?
Yes.
Our phone still hasn't rung.
Your phone hasn't rung.
Okay. To have this discussion. So okay. You're asking me to comment on something that's very nebulous. And I'm suggesting and have been suggesting for months that let's sit down and talk about this. And we haven't.
I mean, I still don't have your phone number or Tom's phone. I asked for your phone number and Tom's phone number. I didn't get either, so.
Oh, you didn't ask for mine. I would happy to give it to you. We'll give it to you today.
May I share your phone number?
Absolutely.
And Tom, may I share your phone number with
Different
Bill?
Different Tom.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about that.
Oh.
The reason why, Dad, that should be pretty clear to you.
So I have heard multiple times during this meeting that we want to have like a master list of the tasks that need to be taken care of and hopefully the order in which they should be taken care of for both Clementia and the well siting, the wells. Would it be appropriate, sir, for me to ask your group to prepare those lists?
No,
because you're kind of in the...
Excuse me, no, it would not.
Oh, I mean, I'm sorry,
this is a board level. This is a board level decision. He's a working group with members of the community. If you want the improvements committee to do it, that's great. But...
Okay.
I'm a little frustrated that it's like all of a sudden the working group does everything. And it's like, I don't think that's appropriate, Amelia.
Very good.
We don't either.
Okay, so then who will be preparing that list, sir?
Oh, yeah, see, here we go. This is one of my favorite topics from last month. How about our project officer who we're going to hire, who has an MBA level of experience, who can actually do the stuff that's never being done around here?
Yes, that would be an appropriate individual.
Yeah, because here we are. It's either the general manager who's, it's not your job, it's Travis, it's not really his job, it's not really anybody's job.
Right.
Yeah. Let's put that in the board packet, decide who's going to do all these important tasks.
Okay.
That's my comment.
Okay, we'll have a discussion item or an action item to delegate these responsibilities.
Just give the working group their tasks. We've been given them, and it sounds like we're it's being changed because I don't know why, but somebody thinks that we're going to go out and spend $50,000 drilling wells without agreements beforehand that allow us to use the water. This is how, in my mind, this is why CSD never accomplishes anything, because we backtrack because we're so worried about making a mistake instead of just going forward, doing what needs to be done to get the job done. But that's my opinion.
Well, it's important we get things done. We just need to start at the first step and accomplish that before we accomplishing step six when you haven't accomplished step one is not progress.
I've heard you say that before. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay.
Our working group we're in the very preliminary stages, and there's no way that we're going to direct anybody without board approval to do anything that spends money if we're not prepared for the consequences. It's not going to happen. We can't spend the money without board approval.
We can't spend money without board approval.
And the board is not going to approve spending any money unless those agreements that you're talking about are in place and all of the studies and the approvals by the whoever needs to be approved, those things they have to be in place before the board decides to spend any money. I'm frustrated because I want to solve a problem, and I'm not being allowed to try and solve the problem.
What are we talking about?
Well,
I'm sorry, I'm lost. Like, what are you frustrated about right now? I'm really, I want to hear you, but I'm not sure what you're talking about. Is it about the wells, or is it about all the other things? What are you saying?
We were given tasks to perform, and we are on our way to doing several things to get this thing back in front of the board with all of the questions answered and a plan to drill some test wells.
So you're talking about wells?
Talking about wells.
Okay.
And I don't know. Now we're going to discuss what the difference in tasks are at the next board meeting, even though we've already discussed it at one board meeting and we've been given the tasks to complete. And
so let's have a clarification of what the committee's functions are, because you keep saying that we are given tasks, and it's like, what we do on the board is we kind of talk back and forth, and some people have one understanding and you have your understanding, and it's like, I never heard the understanding that you're going to be, you know, working on the, you know, urban water master plan. I mean, and you're going to be negotiating and looking at this. What I think, Randy, step one for the wells, there's two first steps. One is talk to the regulators, see if the locations are appropriate, and if we can incorporate that into our drinking water supply, and if that counts as a second source of water supply. Those are three burning questions before we get started. Because if the answers are no, why are we going forward? And the second one is the agreement with the landowner, which here's a representative of the landowner. We can get together with Jeff after the meeting and say, Jeff, where's Carol at on this? And that's those are the first two steps, rather than saying, well, let's talk to guys about quotes for drilling wells. That's step six. So let's get the step one things out of the way. If you guys want to do something, get something in writing from the regulators that says these are acceptable. Yes, you can use it as potable water. And yes, you can declare that as your second source. If I see an email that has a state of California Department of Drinking Water's email address on it, I'll believe it. But Tom saying, sorry, Tom, but somebody from the community saying, well, then 2015, there was a study and I think it said this. It's like, that's all crap, because we keep going down that road.
Again, I'll repeat. What we're discussing is very preliminary. We will get there if we are allowed to proceed and get there.
May I add to his thoughts?
Sure.
I thought having committees was kind of like having the equivalent of a sports car to an ocean liner. I mean, I thought you put people that had some acumen for that subject matter in place in order to quickly tackle very specific things, and the things that we were given by Mr. Mabee that I heard at the in our original task, which was the wells, they seem pretty clearly defined to me. And it's so preliminary what we're doing that we don't need these bit lists and board directions and all of. Let us get these things out of the way that are in front of us.
I don't mean to interrupt you, Jeff, but do you have like a list of all the things that you're working on and
yes, like
action
four.
Items? I've never seen that.
Well, you're not part of the committee.
I keep hearing this. The working group is.
I thought that's why we had these things. When Mr. Farrell and Ms. Ecker and Mr. Merchant and
Eric Houston
were part of that. Did they have this kind of thing going on when they were interpreting the draft IWMP? I don't think so.
No.
Well, I'm not worried. In reading the comments, are more. I'm not disagreeing with where you guys going, as long as you're on wells. It's when you start expanding.
We didn't do it. We were given. We were given it.
Wait a minute.
But remember, we're not selecting these bidders. All we're doing is because.
So, okay, look.
Come on.
Well, I thought you were. We were talking about what you wanted to talk about, Randy. Okay, all right, well, all right. Okay, thank you guys for your comments. Is that, Randy, is that the end of your update for W?
It is.
For the well? Okay. Item K. Travis?
So, item K, I apparently forgot to put that in my report, but item K is GIS updates and cost approval, and I'll have Corey speak about that.
That is still in working with the Raymond Kinsner, the CalCAD owner at this time. For right now, we have a cost estimate of $5,000 to update residences and Riverview area. And then also we have a pending $6,000 annual renewal fee. So we're trying to get some money back from him, but we'll see how that works out.
Do you want to take that cost? Do they need to approve that and take it through the board because of the cost?
We're still talking about what direction we're going to go. So Corey and I are going to have some internal meetings. We're looking at some other options before we move forward on that.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. We need to have I don't know if Randy knows much on this project, but we just need to let's figure out which way we're going to go, which options we're going to take, and then move that way. I mean, we paid a guy a whole bunch of money. You know, if he's, and it's probably not entirely his fault that he hasn't performed. It's probably partially on us, but we need to resolve that, figure out if he's going to do it. If he's not, get some money back. If he is, if the system's not going to work in the long term, we should still get our work product from him.
Yes.
And we can learn some things from that, and we'll move on from that.
If
we decide to do that. Okay.
And that's the end of my report. If you have any questions, I'll be more than happy to try to answer.
Anything to say, Randy?
Comments, sir?
Okay. Meeting is adjourned.
Thank you. 9:15.